Hello, I'm Mark Poston, and on this recording, we want to share with you some echoes from glory. You will hear some very rare and old recordings. Your heart will be thrilled when you hear the voices of some of God's choicest servants who have gone on to glory. These echoes from glory include the voices of D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, R.G. Lee, Ira Sankey, Gypsy Smith, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Dr. Harry Ironside, J. Wilbur Chapman and Charlie Alexander, Dr. Charles Fuller, Homer Roderhaver, Dr. M. R. DeHaan, and J. Frank Norris giving the testimony of Sam Jones, plus Dr. Wagnall singing his famous song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." This recording will be a keepsake for years to come. So sit back now and enjoy these echoes from glory. D.L. Moody. Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement, into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1856, and that which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of the Spirit will live forever. D.L. Moody. In a 40-year period, it is reported that he won over 1 million souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a shoe clerk at the age of 17. At that time, his ambition was to make $100,000. Yet when he was 18, working in the shoe store, his Sunday school teacher, Ed Kimball, came by, and in the back room of that shoe store, D.L. Moody bowed his heart to Jesus and was saved by the glorious grace of God. Later on, he started his famous Sunday school in Chicago and built the Moody Church. He preached to 20,000 souls a day in Brooklyn and admitted only those that were not members of churches. In Indianapolis, he met a young song leader and said bluntly to the man, "You're the man I've been looking for 8 years. Throw up your job and come with me." And Ira D. Sankey did just that. D.L. Moody traveled across the American continent and through Great Britain in some of the greatest and most successful evangelistic meetings ever known to this world. It was Henry Varley who said, "It remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to Jesus." And Moody endeavored to be under God and through the Spirit of God that man. And the world stood back and marveled to see how God would use D.L. Moody. Listen now to this echo from glory as D.L. Moody reads the Beatitudes. D.L. Moody. His life was a triumph for God, but he proclaimed it himself that at his death, it was his coronation day. His son was by his side as he lay in his deathbed in 1899. D.L. Moody proclaimed, "Earth receives, heaven opens before me." His son's first impulse was to try to rouse him from what he thought was a dream. "No, this is no dream, Will," he said. "It's beautiful. It's like a trance. If this is death, it is sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. Then it seemed as though he saw beyond the veil, for he exclaimed, "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. I've been looking forward to it for years." About a year before this, two of his grandchildren had died. Then as his face lit up, he said in a voice of rapture, "Wife, Irene, I see the children's faces." "No pain, no valley," he said. "If this is death, it's not bad at all. It's sweet. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day." The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of God is the death of His children." D.L. Moody died in 1899. And in this same year, his faithful song leader, Ira Sankey, recorded a song entitled, "God Be With You Till We Meet Again." The paths of Ira Sankey and D.L. Moody were separated at this death, but surely God was with both of them. Until later, when Ira Sankey went to be with the Lord Himself, they met in heaven. What a meeting that must have been when Ira Sankey and D.L. Moody met again in heaven. We have this rare recording now, 1899. Ira Sankey sings, "God be with you till we meet again." Echo from Glory will be Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday. "I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot, and I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I've got a head. I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition. William A. Sundy was born November 19, 1862, in a two-room log cabin near Ames, Iowa. His father was in the Union Army then, where he soon died of pneumonia, so Billy never knew his father. As Billy grew up, he became an outfielder on the Chicago White Sox baseball team. One night, along with some of his baseball buddies, he heard a group singing on the streets of Chicago the song, "Where is My Wandering Boy Tonight?" His mother's favorite. Coming under Holy Ghost conviction, Billy went to the Pacific Garden Mission, and there he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Billy Sundy later in life began working under the ministry of J. Wilbur Chapman, and then went into his own evangelistic ministry, where he held some 300 crusades in 39 years. Listen now as Billy Sundy gives us an echo from glory. After holding these 300 crusades in 39 years, it has been estimated that 100 million people heard Billy Sundy speak in the great tabernacles. This was before public address systems were ever invented. There's been varying estimations as to the number of people that actually were saved under the ministry of Billy Sundy, ranging anywhere from 300,000 to over 1 million people making a profession of faith in Christ as Savior under his preaching. Dr. Homer Rodenhaver called him the greatest gospel preacher since the Apostle Paul. Listen now to some of Billy Sunday's most famous quotes. "I want to be a giant for God." "If you want to drive the devil out of the world, hit him with a cradle instead of a crutch." "You've got to sign your own Declaration of Independence before you can celebrate your 4th of July victory." "It's not necessary to be in a big place to do big things." "Let's quit fiddling with religion and do something to bring the world to Christ." I want to preach the gospel so plainly that men can come from the factories and not have to bring along a dictionary. I'm an old-fashioned preacher of the old-time religion that has warmed this whole world's heart for 2,000 years. There wouldn't be so many non-churchgoers if there weren't so many non-going churches. One spark of fire can do more to prove the power of powder than a whole library written on the subject. Wilbur Chapman. It is a very difficult thing to make a rule for another to live by. The rule which governs my life is this: anything that dims my vision of Christ, or takes away my taste for Bible study, or cramps me in my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. The early ministry of Billy Sunday was greatly influenced by Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman. No two men were ever more different in their methods than Dr. Chapman and Billy Sunday. Yet no two men ever agreed more completely on their message of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Chapman was a Presbyterian minister and had great success in four pastorates, but he's best remembered as a powerful evangelist. Just as D.L. Moody teamed up with Ira Sankey as his song leader, so did J. Wilbur Chapman team up with a man named Charlie Alexander as his song leader. J. Wilbur Chapman was led to Christ by his Sunday school teacher, but later in life he found absolute assurance that he was a child of God through the personal counseling of Dwight L. Moody. Through his teaching and preaching and greatly used Bible conferences, Dr. Chapman influenced thousands of Christians to have a deeper, more effective devotion to Christ and the Bible. And he won many thousands to the Lord in his evangelistic meetings. Now listen to this echo from glory as Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman reads the Word of God.
And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over onto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
J. Wilbur Chapman, a man that won thousands to the Lord in his evangelistic meetings and trained the fireball Billy Sunday. His song leader, Charlie Alexander, was a man who could move the service and get the people into a spirit of worship. Very few song leaders were capable of getting the response out of the congregation as Charlie Alexander was. Listen now to this echo from glory as Charlie Alexander sings the Glory Chorus. To be a child of God and to know that Jesus abides in our heart. But yet, we're taught that we're going to suffer persecution and that tribulation and trials will come our way. As we're taught these things in the Holy Word of God, we're also told that Jesus would never leave us or forsake us. Many years ago, Dr. Weigel was serving the Lord, totally dedicated to doing God's bidding. And his dear wife said, "Nope, not for me. You go your way, and I'll go mine." Heartbroken and crushed, God moved on the scene and gave Dr. Weigel the song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." I'm glad to report to you, my friend, that no one ever cared for you like Jesus. We have this echo from glory as Dr. Weigel gives his testimony and sings his famous song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus."
I don't care what it costs. If I never see her or any other woman as a wife, I said, "I'm going on with you all the way." And something came into my soul and stiffened me up and made me feel that I was on the right way without a doubt. And I went on with the meetings. Right after that, God began to reveal to me what he thought of my giving up everything else to stay with him and preach the gospel. It was one of the greatest meetings that I ever had in my life. I preached for 2 weeks and never gave an invitation. The building was crowded. Billy Sunday told me just a few weeks before. He said, "Why, don't go into that town." He said, "I wouldn't go there." I said, "But I prayed about it, and God told me I should go." Well, he says, "You won't do anything there." He was mistaken. I obeyed the Lord, and in 2 weeks, I gave an invitation on Sunday morning, and over 300 people came up the aisles. And that weeping, and crying, and kneeling to Christ. That night, 200 more came. And folks said, "Well, we never saw anything like that around this country." Here, I said, "It isn't me, it's the Lord answering prayer." And I got so happy. Oh, I was so happy. I became an old-fashioned preacher. Went on. And so they preached and preached. The calls came all over America. I even went to the West Indies to satisfy some of my friends down there. And God blessed my ministry. My wife died in 3 years after she left me. I was in my home down in Florida, all alone, sitting at the piano. I play the piano. I'm not much good at it, but I play it anyhow. And I get to thinking of how God had done so much for me and how it was growing on me and how souls were coming to Jesus. And then I said, "Jesus, no one ever cared for me like you." I wept. I got excited. I said, "You are so loving, so kind. You're doing everything for me." And then I stopped, and I wrote the whole song in 20 minutes. Now, that's something I've never done since. The whole song that I'm going to sing in 20 minutes. And it's going around the world. They're singing it. People come to me from different countries and say, "Well, we sing that song down in our country, in our language." I say, "Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that."
God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. Yet music has played a tremendous role in the evangelistic crusades down through the centuries. Dwight L. Moody had the song leader Ira Sankey to work with him in the great campaigns. J. Wilbur Chapman had Charles Alexander to lead the singing in many of his evangelistic meetings. Billy Sunday had a man whose name was Homer Roderhaver, who worked with him in many of the crusades where thousands were saved by the gospel of Jesus. Billy Sunday called him Rody. And oh, a tremendous musician and a tremendous voice for God. We have an echo from glory as Dr. Homer Roderhaver sings the song, When Jesus Comes. And when Jesus comes into the heart and the life of an individual, those old spiritual blinded eyes are opened. Listen now as he sings When Jesus Comes.
We want to tell you the story of a blind man who sat by the way and cried. Dark, gloomy prospect to be blind. If you want to realize that, go to your own room. Shut your eyes just tightly as you can. Try to stumble around and find your own way. That'll give you a little bit of an idea of what it must have meant to this blind man when Jesus came by where he sat and touched his eyes and let him see the beauty of this world for the very, very first time. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Gypsy Smith. The longer I live, the more astonished I am at the reluctance of Christian people to testify concerning their own experience. If only they could summon up courage to say to some lonely neighbor, I love him, do you? The results would amaze them. Gypsy Smith was born in 1860 in a gypsy tent 6 miles northeast of London. He received no education. The family made their living by selling baskets and tinware and other things from an old gypsy wagon that was also their home. His mother died when he was very young. Later, his father accepted Christ, then led Rodney Smith to the Lord when he was 15 years old. 2 years later, when Gypsy Smith was 17, he accepted the invitation of General William Booth to be an evangelist for the mission. He ministered to his own people by way of a gypsy gospel wagon mission begun in Edinburgh in 1892. In 1886, Gypsy Smith made the first of some 30 trips to North America. This great saint of God conducted evangelistic campaigns in the United States and Scotland for over 70 years, traveling around the world twice as an evangelist, speaking in tents and auditoriums and halls to crowds of 5, 6, and even 10,000 people at a time. Gypsy Smith could sing as well as preach. Many times he would interrupt his sermon and burst into one of his songs. We have an echo from glory as Gypsy Smith sings, "I Can Hear My Savior Calling." Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside was born in 1876. As a lad, he heard Billy Sunday preach in person. His parents were true soul winners. Later, Harry Ironside accepted Jesus as his Savior. He had limited education, but he became a great self-taught student. And his commentaries on the Scriptures are read and used by millions of Christians around the world. Later, Dr. Harry Ironside became the pastor of Moody Memorial Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. God used him mightily in revival and evangelistic meetings across the country. Dr. Ironside preached the funeral service of Billy Sunday. Thousands of people were blessed and ministered to through Dr. Ironside. Listen now to this
echo from glory as Harry Ironside tells us that we need to know that we're sinners and that Jesus came to save sinners. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, listen to Dr. Ironside and accept Jesus today into your heart. Here's this echo from glory, Dr. Harry Ironside.
Have you ever acknowledged the fact that you're a sinner? Have you ever come to God confessing your guilt? This, you know, is really repentance, and God commanded all men everywhere to repent and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When I take my place before God as a self-confessed sinner, when I cease trying to hide or to cover my guilt, when I acknowledge that I'm just what God says I am, lost and undone, that's repentance. And now as a repentant sinner, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, who shed his precious blood that I might be cleansed from all my sin. And the moment I do that, the moment I thus receive him, the blessing of Abraham comes to me. You remember what the blessing of Abraham was? God said to Abraham, "In thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." The Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham after the flesh, and he's the one through whom all blessing comes. What blessing is it that I receive when I trust in him? Well, I receive the blessing of salvation, and that includes regeneration, a new heart, a new life, a new birth, and also forgiveness of sins and justification from all things. So I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ when I trust this blessed Savior. You know, even if I could be justified by works of my own, I wouldn't want it now, because I found such a wonderful Savior in Jesus. I would rather owe everything for eternity to him and be able to give him alone the glory for saving my soul, then enter heaven and give myself the credit for it. Because it means so much more to think that God's own blessed Son thought enough of me to come all the way from the glory that he had with the Father before ever the world was, and to lay down his precious life, a ransom for my guilty soul. This little hymn I love to sing, O Jesus, how vast thy love to me. I'll bathe in its full ocean to all eternity, and wending on to glory, this all my song shall be. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me.
For more echoes from glory, turn this tape over at this time. Bob Jones Sr. Bob Jones Sr. was born in 1883 in Shipperville, Alabama. Bob Jones was the 11th of 12 children, and he was saved by the marvelous grace of God at the age of 11. When Bob Jones Sr. was 12 years old, he became the Sunday school superintendent at his church. Bob Jones was 15 years old. He was ordained by a Methodist church. The great evangelist Billy Sunday called Bob Jones Sr. the greatest evangelist of all time. Bob Jones Sr. was a Christ-exalting, sin-condemning preacher who first preached in cotton fields and brush arbors and small churches. But later, he was to hold some of the largest citywide campaigns of all time. Billy Sunday said of him, "Bob Jones has the wit of Sam Jones, the homely philosophy of George Stewart, the elegance of Sam Small, and the spiritual fervency of Dwight L. Moody." It has been estimated that Bob Jones Sr. preached face-to-face to more people than any person living. It was not unusual to average over 10,000 people a night, with many thousands coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in one campaign. Listen now to this echo from glory as we hear Bob Jones Sr. preaching about earnestly contending for the faith.
Earnestly contend for the faith. That's clear as daylight. That's definite. What's that? That's what you're condemned for doing. That's what you're commanded to do. And now on pretense, they walk out. Well, you know why he went so. How do you know?
I saw it.
You can't judge by what you see. I've seen them come down the aisles too, but I never knew which was saved and which wasn't saved. I know the campaign is always a certain percentage of losses. God knows them at the end. And I'm to judge every movement, not by how it looks, but by what God says. The persecution today is being heaped up upon folks that won't compromise and won't surrender. The ones that are obeying God are the ones that are kicked around, and that's always been so.
They didn't kick early people into jail like Paul and Peter because somebody was converted. They put them in prison because they said that they had slain Jesus Christ on a cross and he wasn't dead.
That's the reason they had to go to jail. If they just quietly gone along and said, "I'm going to win some souls." To win some souls, I said, "Just be quiet about it. You know, a lot of trouble going on. Just go along now. Be in the synagogue next time. Go up and tell your rabbi what you've done." No, they went out and said, "There's no other way. This is the only road."
Generation of vipers, who warned you to feed the wrath to come?
You what?
why that sepulcher is full of dead men's bones. They got into this. Yeah. It's all right to have Hollywood religion if that's the kind you want. But isn't the kind God wants you to have. That's not the kind. In the old days when we went to town, we just had the saints, not the cocktail party crowd. They never were for us. Not deacons and stewards and elders that drank cocktails and took a social drink of liquor and still ran the church. Not that kind. It took character in those days. And that's what's the matter with this generation.
Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. Behind every man's ministry is a philosophy. Dr. Bob's was spelled out in the Senate sermons to his preacher boys. Listen to some of these famous quotations by Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. Duties never conflict. It is a sin to do less than your best. The greatest ability is dependability. It is never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Dr. Bob Jones is more than the evangelist. He was an educator, pioneering in the field of Christian education, founding Bob Jones University some 53 years ago. Do right. That was the philosophy of his ministry. Do right if the stars fall. Dr. M. R. DeHaan. For many years, a favorite through his radio Bible class, reaching untold thousands with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of Dr. DeHaan's favorite themes was the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to this echo from glory as Dr. M.R. DeHaan speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall come and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a glorious promise of future glory and peace upon the earth. For one of these days, just as surely as the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, in fulfillment of the type of Isaac's sacrifice and resurrection, the event all the world celebrates today, just so surely he is coming again the second time. And we know it cannot be far away. Everything is pointing to his very soon imminent return. And right this very moment, we are nearer, yes, we are nearer the second coming of Christ than we have ever been before in all of history.
R.G. Lee. We live in a world of invertebrate theology, jellyfish morality, seesaw religion, India rubber convictions, somersault philosophy, and a psychology that tells us what we already know in words which we do not understand. Dr. R.G. Lee was born in November of 1886. He was born in the home of a sharecropper. The black midwife attending his birth held the baby in her black arms while dancing around the room, saying, "Praise God, glory be, the good Lord done sent a preacher to this here house. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, that's what he done gone and done." God sent preacher. Well describes Dr. R.G. Lee. Very few Baptists have never heard of his most famous sermon, Payday Someday. If you haven't heard it or read it, you need to. R.G. Lee rose to pastor one of the largest churches in his denomination, and he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention for 3 terms. Dr. John R. Rice said, "If you've not had the privilege of hearing Dr. Lee in person, I'm sorry for you." Often I've been blessed in hearing Dr. Lee preach, having delighted in his southern voice, and have been carried along with joy by his anointed eloquence. Now, an echo from glory as Dr. R.G. Lee preaches part of his famous sermon, Payday Someday.
The third scene in this tragedy is a wicked wife, Jezebel. We do not know all that the servants said to her when they went back to the dining room and told her that the king was lying there in bed with his face turned to the wall and would not eat. We do not know anything which she said to the servants, but we do know something which she said to Ahab when, trippingly, like a gay dancer, she went running in the king's room, found him lying there in bed with his face turned to the wall, his lips swollen with newly smoking, his eyes burning with devilish anger fire, and his wicked heart stubborn in disobedience to the commandment of God. And as is the custom with women until this day, I suppose she put her hand on his forehead to see if he had temperature. He had temperature. He was set on fire in hell. And first, in a voice of sweet solicitation, she sought the reason of his anger. And in my elegant translation of her words, she said, "What's the matter with you, big boy? Why is thy face so sad, and why dost thou not eat?" Nor Ahab, with his face still turned to the wall, with his mouth filled with grouches, said, "Because I said unto Naboth, let me have thy vineyard for a garden of herbs, because it is close by my palace, and I'll give this worthy in money. If it please thee, I'll give thee a better vineyard for it." And he said to me, "I will not already have my vineyard." Every word he said stung like a whip upon a naked back. This wicked woman who never had any regard for the welfare of anybody who loved God. You can hear her devilish laugh ring throughout the palace halls like the cackle of a wild fowl that has returned and found a serpent in its nest. And then with her sharp, wicked tongue, she began to prod her husband. This gay, gaudy guinea of the devil strutted up and down beside the king's couch and derided him as a buffoon and as a coward. And his horny like sting and wolf mouth fierceness and serpent mouth hiss. In the teasing talks, she herded him for his scrupulous timidity. And then with more noise and wisdom in her words, she said, "Aren't you the king? Can you not command and have it done? Can you not seize and take? Arise, eat, be happy. I'll get thee, Naboth's vineyard."
And Jezebel and Ahab got Naboth's vineyard. But when they woke up in the flames of hellfire, they found out that there was a payday someday. John R. Rice. Dr. John R. Rice was born in 1895 in Cook County, Texas. At age 9, young John R. Rice heard a sermon on the prodigal son, and he was saved by the glorious grace of God. In 1916, with only $9.35 in his pocket, he rode off on his pony to Bible college. He's been known as America's Dean of Evangelists. Dr. Rice made a mighty impact upon the nation's religious life for some 60 years. He preached in great citywide campaigns and founded the Sword of the Lord and preached in many Sword of the Lord conferences. Dr. John R. Rice died in 1980, leaving behind some 200 books and booklets that he had written. With a combined circulation of over 61 million copies. Often called 20th century's mightiest pen. Not only does Dr. John R. Rice's voice live on through his publications and books, but now an echo from glory as we hear Dr. John R. Rice preaching in a Sword of the Lord conference in 1964.
You know, you run better when you run scared, and you better be scared. You better be scared of that old carnal nature that's ready to trip you up all the time. You know, I've gone to a good many people who were guilty of murder and guilty of other heinous crimes, and they're behind the bars. I talked to a woman 45 minutes once after she had shot and killed another woman. I talked to a man in Fort Worth, Texas, who had shot and killed Roscoe Wilson and robbed a man of the receipt from the theater and got him in. And then he caught him in Oklahoma and brought him back and condemned him to die. They brought him out of the cell at 22 years old. Face was pale, face was white. His hands trembled like a man of 80, just 22. And he said to me, "What so many criminals have said. I don't know what made you do it, Brother Rice. I never meant to kill anybody. I wouldn't have done that. I don't know what made me do it." I know what made him do it. The same thing's going to ruin you if you don't watch it. You've got a devil inside.
Yes.
You've got a wicked, old, sinful nature that would have taken you to hell. And now that you're saved, it'll bring disgrace and public shame on you if you don't watch it. Peter had that. And now Peter didn't pray. You better pray. You better be praying a whole lot. You better confess your weakness. You better come every day to admit, "Oh God, unless you help me, I'll do something terrible bad."
Oliver B. Green. Oliver Green was born February the 14th, 1915. His mother and dad lived on a farm. His dad had always been a farmer. He came from generations of farmers.
While Oliver Green's parents and family were very respectable, he was the black sheep, cursing, gambling, running around, and even at one time stole money from his dear old dad. As Oliver grew up, he often would want to borrow the family car to run around in at night. One day he wanted to borrow the car, but his godly sister had heard of a young evangelist preaching in Greenville, South Carolina at the Laurel Creek Baptist Church. Oliver knew that if he was to have the car that night, he must carry his sister to that revival meeting. Oliver found himself sitting at the Baptist church, hearing this young man preach and calling sin, sin, and heaven, heaven, and hell, hell. He heard him preach straight to him as he took his text out of Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." He reported that he wanted to leave, but his feet wouldn't move. When the preacher finished preaching, he prayed a prayer, and Dr. Green said it seemed like he was praying just for me. They sung "Almost Persuaded," and Dr. Green said, "I stood there as long as I could. Then I found myself making my way down to an old-fashioned altar where I knelt and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and there I was gloriously saved. From disgrace to grace." Dr. Oliver B. Green is best known for his many years with the Gospel Hour radio broadcasts. But yet, through his tent and evangelistic campaigns, over 150,000 souls have reportedly been saved. Listen to this echo from glory, where almost 20 years ago, Dr. Oliver B. Green was preaching in an old-fashioned gospel tent meeting.
"Now, when we die, we will not be a spirit floating around. I believe we'll have a body just like Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. But we will not receive our glorified eternal body until we see him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." So when the rapture takes place, and the bodies that have gone back to the dust are raised, and the spirits of the righteous unite with the bodies raised, and we who are alive are changed, we'll receive a body just like his glorious body, that he appeared to the disciples in the room, the doors closed, and he said, "I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. Do you have anything to eat?" They said, "Broiled fish and honeycomb," and he ate in their presence, and he said, "Handle me, I'm not a spirit." Amen, saints. Now look at me. Spiritualism is of the devil, and you cannot communicate with the dead. But some way, somehow, I believe, it is announced in paradise when a mother's son received Jesus, for whom she prayed many years. I don't know how, that's none of my business. But how could they be rejoicing? How could they be rejoicing over a sinner saved if they didn't know the sinner got saved?
J. Frank Norris. Dr. J. Frank Norris may have had his faults, but preaching wasn't one of them. He was a master pulpiteer and could hold a congregation in the palm of his hand spellbound for an hour or more. I.E. Yates reported a crusade where Norris led in his church that resulted in over 600 decisions for Jesus. Mr. Yates also said,
Dr. Norris is the greatest Bible preacher that I have ever heard. He is familiar with every book of the Bible and can quote more scripture in every sermon than any man I've ever heard. He preached one whole week on hell until I could hear the wails of the damned and smell the smoke of their torment. And upon his first invitation on Sunday night, 107 people came forward. Dr. J. Frank Norris is most noted for his dual pastorate. At one time, he pastored two of the largest churches in the world, the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas, and the Temple Baptist Church of Detroit, Michigan, with reported memberships of over 25,000 people. He would spend 6 months at each church. Dr. Norris was an unusual individual. Varying reports about his character. At one time in his ministry, his church burned and he was charged for it, but he came clear. He killed a man, but came clear of that. And it's been said that one time he entered the pulpit with part of a brain lobe of a man that had just died in a wreck. The man had threatened Dr. Norris's life. He preached, "The wages of sin is death." At one time in J. Frank Norris's life, he went to hear a preacher preach by the name of Sam Jones. He had heard a lot about Sam Jones, but had never heard him in person. He went into the building skeptical and came out realizing that Sam Jones was a true man of God with anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen now to this echo from glory as J. Frank Norris gives his experience and the testimony of the conversion of the old Methodist preacher, Sam Jones.
About 3,000 men in an old cotton seed warehouse. And I saw Sam Jones walk out there in a little black mustache. He was a little man physically, but a giant intellectual man spiritually. And he stood up there and just talked along. I said, "That's just what it is, just a big reputation that put nobody there." And on and on and on he talked. And I listened. After a while he said, "Gentlemen, I was so low down by the curse of liquor. Until when the bartender would come to close the saloon at night, I was lying down in the sawdust, covered with my vomit and filth. And he'd come and say, 'Sam, time to close up. Get up!' And I tried to stare to my feet and I couldn't do it. They came and kicked me and crushed me. And he said he dragged me to the back door and threw me out in the back alley. And there came a terrible snow that night. And when the morning came, I was nearly frozen to death. I staggered to my feet. I got hold of the door. I opened it. I came up to the bar. And that old bartender looked at me, cursed me, and called me every low-down thing he could. And he told the truth about it. And I said, 'Please, please, please, give me a glass of that old busted liquor. Give it out of slop to him. I didn't have any money. and he'd get down and give me a glass of it. And I had started drinking. And I held it. And I looked in the mirror. I saw my hair was matted. My filth and vomit on my clothes. My eyes, one of them told to close. My lips were swollen. And I held it and I said, Is that all that's left of the once proud, brilliant lawyer? The most brilliant lawyer? That's the bar the speed of joy. Is that all that's left? Goodbye. And I smashed that glass of busted liquor on the floor and fell on my face and cried, "Oh, God! Oh, God, have mercy!" Then that old bartender came around. He thought I was dying, but I was. And the fellow gathered around, picked me up. "The Sam Hubbard do for you." I said, "Well, let me alone." And he said, "I lay that wine." And I staggered to my feet. I went over to the little old cheap looming house. I staggered up the back stairway. And I told these good old ladies running, "I want to ask you for a favor. Will you please give me a pot of black hot coffee?" And she did. "Sam, what can I do for you?" "Nothing, just leave me alone. I've had 3 days and nights. I went through hell. But when the morning came, something had happened to old Sam Jones. I staggered down to a man that I knew in the clothing business, and I said to him, 'Old Sam's coming back. I don't know, dirty, filthy clothes. Haven't had a shave for a month. Hey, old man, so you're coming back?' And yes, God saved me last night. And I want you to let me have a suit of clothes and everything that I can wear." And he took me and he gave me a great big box, a suit of clothes and a shirt and a necktie and shoes and handkerchiefs and hats. And said, "I joined it up and I took it on to a barber shop," and I went in and, "Hello, Sam." "Hello, boys." And he said, "Before I left, that merchant, after he gave me the clothes, he just slipped $100 bill in my hand." And so I went in and I said, "I want a bath. I want a haircut. I want a shave. I want to trim me up. Can I put on my new clothes?" And I looked in the mirror and said, "I was pale. And I was there a week. And I went down the street and out to where my wife, I treated her like a dog. She couldn't stand to be with me. I beat her till her body was black and blue. And when she came into the door, she didn't know her own husband. I said, 'Honey, just a minute. God has given you a new husband and the children a new daddy. And I want to know if you'll take me back and start again.' So she just threw her arms around me. So, Sam, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've been praying for this." And he says, "Folks, I've been going up and down the land begging on Jesus to control old Sam Jones."
Sam Jones was just going up and down the land, bragging on a Jesus that could save an old Sam Jones. Telling everyone he could what Jesus had done for him. That reminds me of Paul the Apostle, telling everyone he could what Jesus had done for him on the Damascus Road. As we have heard these echoes from glory, I leave with you this question. What made Sam Jones special? What was there about Dwight L. Moody, or Billy Sunday, or any of these other great men of God? What was so special about them? Was it their ability? No. Was it their education that made them so special? No. The Bible says, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled men. Anointed men. Men that were wholly sold out for God. If these special blessings could come only because of a man's might, or if these men's power with God came only through their power of their own, then at their death, our hope for today would have passed. But praise the great God of heaven, it wasn't these men's might that made them special, nor was it these men's power, or education, or personality that made them special, but it was the God that they served. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That gives us hope. Preacher, can you be used as these great men of old? If so, it'll not be by your might or your power, but if, just if, you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and are filled by the presence of God in this life here, that same Spirit that empowered Moody and Sunday and Jones and Green and all these others, He is able to empower you. I'm glad God's not dead. He's still alive, just waiting on someone to be holy, committed, and sold out to His use. Are you that man? Christian, is there hope for your burdened heart? Can that loved one be brought to Christ? Is there hope for that wayward son or daughter? Is God still saving moms and dads? Yes, there is hope. For God is still in business today. And the same God that changed Oliver B. Green, the same God that saved Sam Jones, the same God that touched the lives of these men, and the thousands and millions that were saved under their ministry, that same God is still alive and is still saving souls. That same power can touch the hearts of your loved ones. Friend, if you're listening to this recording today, and you know not for sure that if you should die, that heaven would be your home, then you need Jesus Christ into your heart and life. The same power that touched the lives of these men of God that you've just listened about, the same Spirit is available today for you to be birthed into the family of God. The Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it your day for salvation? As the Spirit bids you come, and the bride bids you come. The Bible says, let everyone that heareth say, come. Will you come to Jesus? Jesus came to Calvary, died, shed His blood to wash you from your filthy sins. He came to you. Will you come to Him today? Here's another echo from glory as Dr. Charles Fuller of the old-fashioned Gospel Hour gives you an invitation to accept Jesus into your heart. Now, from the Long Beach Auditorium, here's Dr. Charles Fuller with this special invitation for you to let Jesus come into your life and be saved by the marvelous grace of God.
Jesus is coming someday in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Today I beseech you, in Jesus' name, be reconciled to God through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Out in the great radio audience, across the nations and islands and seas and jungles and mountain regions and the frozen Arctic, the warm places of the south, God is calling you. Will you just kneel? Confess that you're a sinner. You're in need of Christ. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. God will hear you and receive you and wash you and cleanse you from your sin through His precious blood. And while I enter proud in the splendor of this audience today, how many will put their hands up just before we close and say, Brother, uplifted hand, Brother Fuller, I need Christ as my personal Savior. I want to receive Him today. God bless you.